Jeremiah chapter 2, second chapter in the book of Jeremiah, as we gather around the Word of God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. For the last several weeks, we've posed the question, are you just a memory to God? I guess we could ask the question, is your relationship with God a memory to you? Because for Israel, the best days with them and God was behind them. The best time with them and God was behind them. And God sent his man Jeremiah, a young man struggling with inadequacy and insufficiency and inability. And by the way, we got to get there before God can use us. Too many people think they can, and that's why they won't. Jeremiah said, God, I'm not able, but God said, I am. And God used him. And not long into his ministry, he has to stand before the people of God and on the behalf of God say to them, I remember when you and I were close. I remember, Israel, when you longed for me. I remember when you sought after me. I remember when you desired me. I remember when you were enamored by me. I remember when you pursued me. I remember when you were different because of me. And now it's not like that anymore. Too many believers have come to the point in their life where their walk with God is just a memory. Could I tell you that your best day with God ought to be today? Don't you miss that. Your greatest times with God ought to be today. And by the way, I thank God for what God has done in Crossroads Baptist Church. I thank God for what God did last week. I thank God for what God did a couple days ago in North Carolina. I thank God for what God's done in my family over the years. But I will tell you, I want the best days to be now and to be ahead of me. I want to do more for God today than I've ever done before. We saw the fervent passion of Israel. They used to have a desire for God. We saw the forgotten performance that Israel had. Whose performance? God's performance. I asked you today, has God done anything for you? Come on now, talk to me. I said, has God done anything for you? Who was there when nobody else was there? Amen. You heard the song this morning. I got saved. I don't know about you. I didn't get saved by the church. I didn't get saved by the baptism of waters. I didn't get saved by the right hand of fellowship. I didn't get saved because my mom and daddy were saved. I didn't get saved because my good outweighed my bad. I got saved because when there wasn't a rose red enough and there wasn't a lamb white enough and there wasn't a man good enough, God sent forth his only son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If all God did was save me, he's done more for me than I deserve. Israel forgot that. When your relationship with God becomes a memory, you've forgotten what God's done for you. They forgot that. Last week we saw, if you would, their fickle practices. Because they no longer had a fervent passion, because they forgot God's performance, they now had fickle practices. They were up and down people. God doesn't want us to be up and down. God wants us to be steadfast. Come on now. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, preacher, how in the world can I be stable? How can I be steady? How can I be constant? How can I be consistent when the world around me is changing? How can I stand firm when everybody around me is shifting? How can I stand true when what's right is now wrong and what's wrong is now right? How can I stand true when circumstances go south, finances get funny, friends get few? I'll tell you how. You stand on Christ, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. They took their eyes off of God and they became fickle. And yet they had a pleading father who in their mess were still reaching for them. Amen. You're away from God today. You're not reaching for God. He's reaching for you. Amen. Amen. The amazing story about Luke 15 and that prodigal is the Bible said when the prodigal started heading back, the father saw him. Amen. The only way you can see somebody coming from afar off is if you're looking for him. Amen. You say, I'm too far away from God. Can I tell you, he's looking for you. You didn't come to God last Sunday. He was looking for you. You didn't come to God Wednesday. He was looking for you. You might not come to God today. He's looking for you. Before you make your first step drawing out of God, he'll draw nigh to you. They had a pleading father, if you would. They had preposterous functions. They walked after vanity. They began to do things that the people of God, you never thought they would have done. Preposterous. They forsook the real God when heathens don't even forsake their fake gods. Jeremiah said that didn't even make sense. Amen. I mean, let me tell you something. When you get out of the will of God, you not only do things that are against spiritual sense, you do things that are against common sense. He listen to me. He said the loyalty of the heathens to idols is stronger than your loyalty to Almighty God. And let me tell you something. We don't have to look in Jeremiah just to see that. We can see that today. You can go down the road and find people more loyal to Muhammad than you are to Jesus sometimes. You can find people that'll distribute more literature for a false God than we will for a real God. You can find people that'll give more of their allegiance to something that will take them nowhere than those of us that will pledge our allegiance to a God that's taken us somewhere. Jeremiah said that's preposterous. They were fickle in their practices, and as a result, they forced their own predicament. They had depleted power. Weak folk now decided to defeat them, and Israel couldn't stop it. See, your strength is not in you, your strength is in God. Come on. See, when you get away from God, stuff you used to beat will beat you. Huh? You remember Samson? He could kill 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's jawbone. And then he got away from God. You say, Samson lost his strength because he cut his hair. Well, yeah, but he lost his strength because he cut his hair because God told him not to cut his hair. So he didn't really lose his strength in his hair. He lost his strength when he disobeyed God. Amen. So don't think your strength's in your hair. Your strength is in obedience. And there's a whole lot of stuff God said do. For Samson, it wasn't done, don't cut your hair. For you, it might be don't rob God. It might be don't miss church. It might be don't think bad thoughts. It might be don't disobey your pastor. I'm just simply saying, when you get away from God, you lose your power. He got up to do like he used to do. He wished not the Lord had departed from him. Their depleted power, if you would, their disappointing procurements. They had, verse number 17, gathered a bunch of things to themselves that did them no good. They had turned away from God, if you would. And because of turning away from God, they now had turned to Egypt and Assyria. It's amazing who your friends become when God's not your friend anymore. It's most amazing who you run to based on who you're running from. Amen. I've seen some unlikely gatherings. Amen. Of wayward Christians. I'm talking about people who have never hooked up. But they hooked up at the Away From God Club. Amen. Misery loves company. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you can hook up with people that are away from God when you're away from God, then the antithesis of that is you can hook up with people with God when you walk with God. You'll never find better friends than the friends that love God, that love the Bible, that love the leading of the Holy Spirit, that hate sin. People say, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to give up my friends. You get close to God, they'll give you up. You'll find out you didn't lose much. Somebody help me preach. Forced predicament, depleted power, disappointing procurements, desperate partnership, and a dismal plight. This morning, I want to finish the message. Number 5, if you would. They had a faulty perspective. And I don't know a better way of putting this, but when you get away from God, your mind goes whack. I've sat down in front of people and couldn't reason. I mean, I couldn't reason elementary Christianity to them. They stared me down in the face. They thought I was crazy. I knew who was crazy. Amen. You saying, Pastor, you never been crazy? I've been crazy too. But I never been crazy when I was lined up with God. Amen. His commandments are not grievous. Amen. In a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating Easter on April Fool's Day. And the world thinks we're fools. But we're not fools. I mean, it makes sense that if I can't get to heaven, I got to go to heaven on somebody that can get me there. It makes sense if I'm a sinner, then I can't pay for my own sin. And it makes sense if I was born a sinner, then I can't wash my sins away. I'll tell you what makes sense. Somebody who knew no sin had to become sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. It makes no sense that a tadpole came out of water, turned to a monkey, and turned into a man. I'll tell you what makes sense. The intellectual design of those trees and those clouds and those birds, that without me doing anything, the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the evening. I'll tell you what makes sense. Incredible design demands an intelligent designer. I'm not going to settle for being the crazy one. Every once in a while I get frustrated with the fact that some people just don't want to do right. And I'll ill-advisedly say, I guess I'm just crazy. Well, I've got to work on that. I'm quit saying that. You don't do right by God, you're crazy. You don't need a shrink, you need the scriptures. Amen. And every single one of us, we have crazy moments. I said we have crazy moments where we go, what was I thinking? That sure didn't make no sense. I should have listened to God. You ain't going to find me nobody to give you factual evidence that going against God ever made sense. You're not going to stand up in this building today and tell me you walked contrary to the word of God and your life was better. You slept better at night. You had joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not going to tell me that anybody ever did you better than Jesus did. But you show me somebody who's marched the straight and narrow and determined to live holy and godly. And I thought I was tired, but I feel a preaching storm coming on. You show me somebody that'll live the Bible way. Line upon line, precept on precept. He may not be the richest cat in the house. He may not be the one with the biggest car or the fanciest house, but he's got peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's got fulfillment that Oprah doesn't know about, Dr. Phil can't prescribe, Walmart doesn't sell, and Amazon Prime can't send you. It comes straight down from God. You're in a mess this morning. You can't blame God. So if they found themselves in a faulty perspective. What's so faulty about them, Jeremiah? Well, look what God did for them. Verse 20, broke the yoke and burst the bands. He said, let me tell you why your mind's whack. I'm the one got you out of Egypt. Come on now. Hey, listen, if you're sitting here a little dignified this morning, I mean, you could find Jeremiah without a glossary. Let's not forget there was a day when you couldn't find Jeremiah. Amen. And if you could, you wouldn't. Come on, if you're in church this morning, some of you choir members, you remember there's a day you never sing a Christian song. Come on. Some of you in this building picking up money for the Lord. Some of you ushers. I'm not saying you ain't used to picking up money. But there was a day you didn't pick it up for Jesus. Amen. Oh, you were picking it up all right. But somebody reached down and saved your soul. Every once in a while, you ought to get undone by the goodness of the Lord. You ought to get overwhelmed by the mercy of God. That when nobody was looking for you, God found you. Amen. Listen to me. The world will give you a little bit of fun for a few moments. It'll give you a little bit of sin, pleasure for a season. But when God came into your life, he took a key, put it in your shackles, unloose your handcuffs, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He said, I gave you an authorized clearing. I broke your bonds. Amen. Amen. And yet, you announce your claim. I will not transgress. Oh, yeah, God set me free. You came walking out of Egypt with a high hand. Oh, we'll not us. We're Israelites. We'll never go back on God. Mm-hmm. He said, well, let's look at your adverse conduct. I set you free. You claimed you weren't going to do wrong. But look what you've done. On every high hill, that's idolatry. Under every green tree thou wanderest and playest the harlot. Wait a minute now. God said, I loved you and delivered you. And you've pledged your allegiance to those who didn't do that. Yeah. Amen. Well, you won't, when you won't give God what he's due, just remember what when he gave you what you weren't due. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You've got adverse conduct. Notice if you would. He said, your amazing commencement. Verse 21, I planted you a noble vine. Holy, a right seed. Here's the good thing about being Christian. Here's the good thing about getting saved. Now, we're all in this building, and it's a diverse crowd. We always have diversity here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Diversity on the outside just means that the color of our skin, our economical makeup, what we drive, where we're from, the language we speak is different. But the good thing about the gospel and the good thing about Calvary is the ground is level at the cross. The ground is not, now I'm not asking for your business and it's not mine to know, but there could be some things from the world's perspective that you did before you got saved that are downright reprehensible. You wouldn't want anybody to know it, and I don't blame you. But I'm going to tell you, with all of that baggage and all of that nonsense and all of that stuff that even the world disqualified you from being into some of their groups because of what you did, I know one thing about the salvation that Jesus gives. When you got saved, regardless of what you were before you got saved, you got started out right. Amen. You may have come to God a weed, but God planted you a right plant. You may have come to God messed up, but God cleaned you up. You may have come to God dirty, but God washed your sins away. You may have come to God raggedy, but God gave you a robe of righteousness. But God said, I planted you right. Now, how are you coming out like that now? When you go astray, don't cite your biological curses and who your mama wasn't and who your daddy was. That don't have nothing to do with going astray. See, spirituality has very little to do with biological DNA and everything to do with spiritual DNA. See, every one of us in here is made up of a different biological DNA. But when you get saved, it unifies the body of Christ. Because we are made up of the same spiritual DNA. Your skin may be white, mine may be black, somebody else may be yellow, and somebody else may be a mixture of all three of them. But when you get saved, God's not looking at your pigmentation, amen? God's looking at your justification. And when the blood of Jesus flows through your veins, there's a transfusion, somebody help me preach, there's a transfusion that comes flowing down from the cross that goes into your spiritual bloodstream. There's a metamorphosis that takes place. Corinthians 5:17. He meets you as a caterpillar. He turns you into a butterfly. He gets you started out right. And Israel said, Jeremiah says from God, I planted you right. Now how you become a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me, growing all crazy. Weeds all in the garden when I planted you right. This is what God is asking us. You had an amazing commencement. You had an attempted concealment. Though you wash thee with nitre and take much soap, your iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. He said, you ain't living right and you're trying to hide it. This is not a soap problem. This is a sin problem. Anybody listening to me this morning? You hear what he's saying? This not something you can wash off with a nice outfit. Amen. Listen, it's good to shout in church, but just because you're shouting in church doesn't mean that's a cover up for living bad outside of church. Amen. I was talking to an older lady down in North Carolina this week, and we were just talking about how much credence people put in public display of worship. And we were laughing. I said, but I'll tell people, I don't mind lifting up your hand, but just make sure it's a holy hand. And it's nothing wrong with getting up off the ground and praising the Lord. But I like the way the lady said it. She said, my mama used to say, I don't have any problem with folks getting up off the ground and worship the Lord, just as long as when they land, they walk straight. Yeah. Now, if you're going to hop up and shout for Jesus, when you land back down, walk with Jesus. Yeah. He said they attempted to conceal it. Notice the absolute corruption that was in them. He says iniquity is marked. You look good on the outside, but there's sin marked on you. You can't hide sin from God. Notice the absurd contention. I'm not polluted, verse 23. I've not gone after Balaam. Not me. I'm not doing anything. When you get away from God, you know what you start telling people? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Watch your children. Your parents can tell when you're not living right. Amen. And so can your pastor. I mean, there are things about you that change that you can't see changing because you're you. Amen. That's why you need to say thank you when somebody tells you something hanging out your nose. Because you can't see your nose. Come on. See, somebody looking at you has a better gauge of you seeing you than you do. And when people start moving away from the Lord, you sit down with them and say, that's not good for you. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Your countenance changes. Your seat in church changes. Your response to preaching changes. Come on. I talked to somebody recently, and the spouse was surprised at where the spouse was spiritually. I wasn't. I said, that person didn't go to the altar for 3 months. Well, you mean tell me everybody goes to the altar spiritual? Nope. There's some devils go to the altar. But someone who used to go, who stopped going, something happened. Don't get quiet. You're indicting yourself. See, when you used to see something wrong with you from the Word of God, and now you see everything right about you in spite of the Word of God, you've drifted from God. The most godly people in the Bible got close to God and couldn't stand themselves. I don't know a better man in the Old Testament than Job. You lose your 10 children and your barns and your animals and your everything. You go from being the richest to the brokest and find it out in one conversation at one time and see if you'll get up and say, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's some folk can't smile in church after breaking a nail. Try losing your kids. Your wife tell your breath stink. Your best friends tell you you're being judged by God. You got boils that are being scraped. You got sickness you've never experienced before. And your closest friends are rebuking you, kicking you while you're down. Yet Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. I will maintain mine old ways before him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I tell you, Job was a good man. He got to the end of the book of Job and said, mine eyes have seen the Almighty. He said, through this experience, I got to look at God like I'd never seen before. Tell us, Job, when you saw God, how many compliments did he pay you? Know what Job said? I abhor myself. Now tell me how the most godly man in the Old Testament hated himself when he was in the presence of God, and how you think so much about yourself, and how I think so much about myself. The closer I get to God, the less I think about me. Amen. Israel got far from God, and the further they got from God, the more they thought about themselves. Don't let the world fool you. Listen to me. I'm not for depression, and I think people need help at times with depression. I would never dismiss it. There are people sitting in the body of Christ who struggle with depression. They need help. They need guidance. They need support. But I'm telling you, if you think the best way to serve God is just finding the champion inside of you and building up yourself and doing you and thinking good about yourself and looking in the mirror every morning, I'm the best. Ain't nothing I can't do. I believe I can fly. Look at yourself. I'm the man. I'm the man. You hear me? I'm the man. I'm the man. You can tell yourself fall you want to. You can jump off a building and sing, I believe I can fly. You're going to splat. You understand me? You're not going to do something for God by believing in yourself. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I can do all things through Christ. It is God which worketh in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm the vine, Jesus said, ye are the branches. Without me ye can do nothing, but with me there's nothing you cannot do. They saw no error in their ways, and neither do Christians away from God. Their appalling comparison. You know what he called them? A swift dromedary traversing her ways. This was a camel that was just wandering all over the place, uncontrollable. A wild donkey used to the wilderness that snuffeth at the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they shall find her. You hear me? He said that you're like a wild donkey that can't be controlled. And people get so tired of chasing you and not being able to find you, they just wait till you have to slow down because you get pregnant or something comes along and something has to stop you. You know, I hate to say this, but I've had Christians over the years where I have concluded to quit chasing them. You say, oh, I just think that's rude. You should never give up on anybody. Well, you wouldn't agree with Jesus. Jesus loved everybody. He approached a tree and it didn't have any fruit on it. And he said to the disciples, let's give it another year. Let's wait on it. He came back a year later and had no fruit. You know what he said? Cut it down. Cut it down. I give you time to grow and I give you power to grow. But if with time and power you're still not growing, if you've gotten to the point in the Christian life where people quit chasing you, they just wait till circumstances slow you down. You'll call. It's amazing how many people I hear from 5 years later. They know I don't change my number. I had a young man ask me at church on Friday night, do you ever give out your number? I said, are you kidding me? Everybody in the world has my number. They told me years ago, don't put your number on your business card. People are going to call it. Really? Just be like a big name preacher. Put a number down that they can never reach you at. That's called lying. But somebody called me a couple weeks ago. I'm in the hospital. Man, heard from you since Mr. Clean had an afro. But I knew you'd call. See, when you got into in your month for the donkey, it could be when she's with child. For a wild animal, it could be when the animal's with child. For a wild animal, it could be when that animal is at a point where he can't move anymore. For you, it could be wherever God puts you at the end of your rope. In your month, hospital bed, prison cell. Unemployment line. See, you can't ask your homies that smoke and drink to pray for you when you get in trouble. They don't have connection. See, when you want to dial up foolishness, they got minutes on their phone. When you dial up Jesus, they hit the phone. I don't have no service. Amen. But you can call the preacher when you get in trouble. Because you know who he's connected to. Huh? See, sometimes you get to the point where you're unchaseable until God lays you down somewhere. He said, Israel, that's where you are. And we're going to look for you till your time comes. Notice, if you would, the adamant continuation. Even though you've been told what you should do, you still do the same thing. Verse 25, withhold thy foot from being unshod, thy throat from thirst. He said, don't go to Egypt and Assyria. If you go marching the wrong direction, guess what? You're going to march so far, your shoes going to fall off. That's what your foot being unshod means. You're going to run yourself out of footwear.
Well, what did God say that for?
Because he let them march for 40 years and the shoes never wore out. When you work for me, I keep your shoes intact. When you work for the devil, you spend $150 on them, they got a hole on them, time you walk out the store. Amen. God has a way of making sure his treasures that have been deposited into your life don't depreciate. Haggai says, tell the people they got all that money. When they go look to make a withdrawal, they can't find it because they deposited it into a bag with holes. It's amazing how some people can't find anything to preach on. Look, this big old Bible. Absurd, adamant continuation. You keep doing it. There is no hope. No, verse 25. I told you, don't get your shoes worn out. Don't get your throat so dry that you're thirsty. But thou sayest, there's no hope. I've loved strangers, and after them will I go. This is the adamant continuation of the wayward child of God. Confronted, defiant. I'm going where I want to go. Your ashamed condition. Verse 26, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets. Listen to me. There is nothing like the shame of going away from God. That's why it's so hard for some people to come back, because they're so ashamed. Amen. Hey, listen to me. When you serve God, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow to it. God said, you be right with me. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But you move away from God, you'll be like a thief with his hand caught in a cookie jar. A roach when the light comes on. I figured a thief wouldn't get everybody into the conversation. I figured the second one would be a little more relevant to some. I'm not saying you have roaches. I'm just saying you've seen them scatter somewhere. Brother Zev has. Amen. He works for heating and air conditioning, not extermination. Notice the anticipated calamity. Notice what God's going to say. He says, you've got misplaced reverence. Let me hasten. Saying, to a stock thou art my father, to a stone. He said, a stock is like a tree. He said, you worship in trees, worship in stones. Shame on you. You're maligning rebellion. He says, you, instead of turning your face to me, you've turned your back to me. Boy, there's so much in here. But trouble's going to arise. And you're going to say, save us. Help us, God. And you know what God's going to say to you? Where are your gods that made you? Let them arise. If they can save thee in the time of trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. You got as many gods as you got cities. God said, I'm calling you. Nope, you turn your back to me. And then trouble comes and you call me. And God said, I turn my back to you. Go after those people you've been worshiping. See if they can save you. Let me close. Lastly, there's a fateful prognosis. In vain. Look at verse 29. Will you plead with me? Why? Wherefore will you plead with me? Ye have all transgressed against me, saith the Lord. He said, God said, you've gotten so far, it's useless to plead. You know why God says it's useless to plead? Because God can see our hearts, and he knows when we're crying crocodile tears. He knows when we're saying sorry to get an advantage. See, that can work on your spouse, maybe. It won't work on God. Pointless cause, profitless correction. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword have devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. My correction does nothing. Wow. The provocative consideration. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? God said, have I been a dry land? Have I been a dark God? by the way, he led them through the wilderness and he led them through darkness, but he himself was not the wilderness, nor was he ever the darkness. Aren't you glad that even though you face dry areas and you face darkness, that God's not the dryness and God's not the darkness? God is the light that leads you through the dryness and through the darkness. Wow. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride, her attire? Yet my people have forgotten the days without number. Notice your pitiful commitment. He said, maids don't forget their ornaments and brides don't forget their gowns. How can you forget me? He said, could you imagine a bride showing up at the wedding with no gown? Or a maid not being decked with her ornaments? He said, then how in the world do a people whose significance all came from me forget me? Do you realize that it is logically, it is less logical for a Christian to forget God than it is for a sinner to serve the devil? Man, I'm listening to those songs this morning. If God saves you, how can you forget him? I'm wrapping up. The pretentious character. Huh. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? This was an act of women in that day, lewd women, promiscuous women. Like Jezebel decked herself with all that fancy stuff. Lewd women, prostitutes in those days would trim themselves. They would paint themselves in a way to solicit love. God says, that's what Christians who drift from me do. They try to paint on a face that looks good instead of fixing the heart that God sees. Why trimmest thou thy way? And then he makes a powerful charge to him. In thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Israel was guilty of having the children pass through the fire. Manasseh was guilty of shedding innocent blood. Here's what God said. You've gotten so far from me, you're taking the life of innocent people. It's where America has gotten. I said it's where America has gotten. I'm a firm believer that God can bring revival to any people if he chooses to. But he refused to bring revival to Israel. And his citation for not doing it was the shedding of innocent blood. If America's going to keep killing babies and citing it as the right of human beings over the right of their heavenly creator, we have a hard chance at revival. But can I say this by way of application? You may never be guilty of something like that. But if your lifestyle is lived in such a way that's contrary to God, that it slaughters the potential of a child living for God. Shame on you. It's always motivated me. When I lived, who am I going to impact? The children are watching. Not just your physical children, your spiritual children. You lead somebody to the Lord, they're watching you. These kids all around here, they're watching us. God said, I found in your skirts the killing of innocent people. Your presumptuous confidence. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? You'll be ashamed. You're no use in trying to change it up and fix yourself. It's not going to work. Why? There's a prospective catastrophe. Thou shalt go forth from him. That's Syria and Egypt. Your hands upon your head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper. Watch this now. Here's how he says Israel's going to walk away. You ever watch a sports game and watch somebody make a terrible mistake that cost the game? See what they're doing? Hands on their head. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of the misery of defeat. Watch this now. I just lost a game. God says you walk away from God and you let the vibrancy of your relationship with God be nothing more than a memory. This is how you'll leave your best days with God. I blew it. Listen, there's always a place to come back to church. There's always a spot to get back in the work of God. There's always a chance for forgiveness. But there are some things that are lost in the window of opportunity by God's divine grace that'll never be recovered. And there are Christians who are in church, saved, and doing the best they can to serve God. But they can't go weeks without thinking about what they lost in their wandering days and going like this. I blew it. You know what they're trying to do? Make sure their kids don't blow the same thing. Amen. Must have been hard for Jeremiah. No wonder he wept so much. God, I got to tell them what? I care about these people. And then he watched them get paraded off to Babylon. The most terrible thing to watch is people go through something that you told them they could avoid. How many of you like to say, I told you so? Be honest. Okay. All the men, put your hand up. All right. How many of you wives know that your husband is like to say, I told you so? How many husbands know your wives like to? No, I'm not starting that argument in here. You ever pleaded with somebody? Don't do that. That's bad news. And then that same person, you watch them walk into misery that not only you knew was waiting for them, but you told them they could avoid. Jeremiah said, I warned you. I said, don't go. Don't bow. Don't bend. There's a superpower that will destroy you. Don't go asking Egypt and Assyria for help when you got God. And they went marching on. We'll ask who we want to march. We'll ask who we want. And Jeremiah said, there's coming a day when trouble's coming. And you'll remember, I told you so. Don't get there. Say, Pastor, I'm already halfway there. Halfway ain't as bad as all the way. Turn around. God's looking. If the God who's perfect is citing what he remembers about you and me, it must mean he still cares. May God and our relationship not be a memory. Instead, may it be a present reality. Our Father, help us. We have a lot to be accountable for. And yet, Lord, sometimes those of us that have been given the most are doing the least. Help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I have Bible reason to prove it. I'm saved. God bless you. Put your hand up. God spoke to me, Pastor, about some area of my spiritual life where God and I need to be more vibrant. God spoke to me. Would you raise your hand all over the building? And I'm going to ask you to find a place on the altar or find a place in your pew and talk to God about it. I'm not asking you just to make a commitment to admit you need to get back to God. I'm asking you to start the journey today. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen to the question. Because at the end of the day, it's not just about going to church. It's about where you're going to spend eternity. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you? You say, just pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you, call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up long enough for me to see it. Anybody like that? Let's stand together. Father, would you bless this invitation for the many who've already come? Continue to draw us back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.